From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. Sometimes in life, you got to call an audible. You got to go with the flow. You got to make some adjustments when things don't go your way. And that's what's happened this morning. Hence the start at 10:30 a.m. I usually get going a little after 10 a.m., but I get to First String Sports. I have all the equipment with me and doing this for 5 years. A glitch happens every once in a while, and sure enough, it happened. We weren't able to connect to the internet at First String Sports, so we had to come here to the studio on Palm Avenue, the ESPN studios, and do the show from here. But gosh, I am happy to be on air. This is going to be a great show. Tons of stuff going on in the central section. Lots of good football stuff. Last night, we were able to broadcast the 1-versus-2 matchup between Central East and Clovis High. And I tell you what, it absolutely did not disappoint as far as the star players came to play last night. Tons of offense. If you didn't see the score, how about 110 combined points? 110 combined points. And 61 of them was from Central East, 49 for Clovis High. Deegan Rose, the quarterback for Clovis High, flipped his college choice from Oregon State to Fresno State. It was my first look at watching him play since he flipped to Fresno State. He had a really good game statistically, 392 yards through the air, 4 touchdowns, did have 2 turnovers, had 1 interception and a fumble in the first quarter. Brandon Smith for Central East, that dude is absolutely on fire right now. 5 touchdowns last week against Clovis West in their win over the Golden Eagles, 261 rushing yards. And how about this? How about this? 5 more touchdowns, 3 rushing, 1 receiving, and a pick 6. This is how the first, 4 minutes or so started for Brandon Smith. Central East gets a 3-and-out from Clovis High. Sorry about that. 3-and-out from Clovis High. Central gets the ball at the 29-yard line. First play of the game, boom. 71-yard touchdown run from Brandon Smith. Clovis High gets the ball. I believe it was the second play. Brandon Smith kind of sliding over to his safety position. Interception, takes it to the house. So Brandon Smith, 13. There's an extra point missed. Clovis, nothing with like 8:37 left in the first quarter. Just wild stuff. And then from then on, I felt like Central dominated the game, despite it being basically a 2-score game to end it. Clovis got a couple late touchdowns, but Central was in complete control of the game. Clovis could not stop the Bengals offense all night. Jelani Dipple played well, 253 yards passing. The defense, some chinks in the armor, right? I mean, they gave up a lot of points to Clovis High. Tell you one guy that really impressed as well, and that was James Caruso, the sophomore running back for the Cougars. Stepped in for Maddox Merrill after he was declared out for the season. And this dude is as advertised. 5 total touchdowns, so he matched Brandon Smith's total in touchdowns. 3 rushing touchdowns, 2 receiving, but he was hard to stop. Not really big, slight of stature, maybe about 175 pounds, maybe 170 actually, but he is fearless. He can scoot, he puts his head down, he gets extra yards, So number six is definitely a problem if you're playing against Clovis High. But as far as the two teams go, obviously Central East was at home, home game for them. So lots of advantages that way. They play really well at home. Their only loss is on the road at Grant. But clear cut, number one. Clear cut. Clovis High had a lot of penalties in that game. They got to cut down on those if they meet up in the championship game, or heck, throughout the playoffs, or heck, next week against Clovis West. They got to clean some of that stuff up. So Central East, just pretty much a dominating performance. A dominating performance. Clear cut number one, as I said. And it, I don't know if you think about it, it doesn't get any easier for Clovis High next week. Next week's all Clovis week. They've been playing since the inception of Clovis West High School. And it's always the last game of the regular season. But remember, Clovis West only lost to Central by a touchdown. So if you do some comparative scores, that game's going to be a really, really good football game next week. So stars were on display last night. Happy to call the game. Phil Bedani did a great job. Pat Hill, great as always. Just a pleasure to call games with those guys. And the weather was nice, too. I did slip on my lightweight jacket for just a little bit, but the other two guys didn't. So, I had to man up a little bit, so I took it off towards the end. But, yes, great weather. Had really good weather for football this year. So, great game to watch. Congrats to Central East. They are now 8-1 on this season. I got to give some love to First String Sports. I mentioned earlier, I don't know if you guys just started listening to the show. I had to leave First String Sports, had some equipment issues. I'm here in the studio. So First String Sports, they've been my day one sponsors. You guys know where the store is. There's only one store. They used to have one in Clovis, like, I don't know, 15 years ago. I overheard some of the guys talking. I think two people this week, I don't know, made phone calls to the store, and they went to go pick up their stuff in the Clovis store. And obviously it's not there. But the only store in town on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra. Do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. No other place I'd rather do my show. If I have to find a supplement, I guess it could be here in the studio. They got everything that you need. And even when I was there for the hour trying to fix the equipment myself before Jorge came, there were people getting their Letterman's jackets configured, designing what they want their jackets to look like, getting the patches sewn on and all that good stuff. So they got tons of equipment there. Heck, baseball stuff, man, they got tons of baseball stuff. I actually bought one of my baseball gloves from them. So First String Sports, thanks to them for being my day one sponsors, but also for being very, very flexible. When I told them, I got to move the show to the studios. They're like, Paul, you got to do what you got to do. So thanks again, First String Sports, just awesome people over there. Also want to thank Clovis Stone Masonry and Landscape Supply. They sponsor the show, located on Sunnyside, just south of Herndon. Elite Performance Center, Fresno County Superintendent of Schools, Raw Farms, who sponsors our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week as well. Well, can you guys believe it? I gave a synopsis about the Central East and Clovis game. But can you believe there's only one more regular season game before the playoffs hit? And next week's show will be kind of a prediction show. When the basketball brackets come out, the baseball brackets, and then the football brackets, obviously, it's like Christmas. And it's fun to predict it. I wish my show was like 5 hours long so I could go into when the brackets finally come out. They usually come around 2 or 3, sometime around that time. And I think the brackets are going to be a lot easier for our CIF Central Section to configure this year. A lot of new rules. Got to be in the 25 percentile in your division to be moved up. There's going to be not a lot of movement. Our friend Trevor Horn is going to come on the show next week for our prediction show. He's got a spreadsheet. Man, he's got it pretty much dialed in. So I think there's only 9 on that list a couple days ago. They're going to be moved up. And not many, if any, are going to be moved down. It might not be full brackets. So don't be surprised if there's 13 in D2. I think D4 is going to be loaded. But don't be surprised. Even the D1 single A bracket might not be full. Might have seven. So it could be one bye. I think the D1 double A bracket, the highest bracket, is going to be totally filled. And my opinion is because six of the track schools are going to be in that highest division. And Frontier right now is up there. Frontier won last night. So I think Frontier, the six track schools, and one more school. So they didn't want to have it where six track schools and Frontier. That's kind of silly, right? So they're most likely going to have a full eight in the Division I AA, maybe seven in Division I A. Wait, we'll find that all out next Saturday when the brackets come out. All right, so lots of stuff as far as games last night. We are going to take a break, and I'll come back with those scores. We're going to go all the way up to 11 o'clock. I got Austin Kemp, and Austin, he's following my Audible as well. I called him driving here, and he's going to join us here at the ESPN studios. We're going to be talking about the track, where some teams are at right now. Buchanan with a huge win yesterday. And then around 11:30, I got Josh Henderson, the head football coach at Emmanuel. His Eagles are 9-0. They are undefeated. After that, I got Cannon Sanchez of Hanford. He's been on the show before, but his bullpups have figured a lot of things out. So we've got a full show still, even though we got cut off of a half an hour. We're going to pack all that great stuff in here in the show. Thank you guys for being flexible as well. When I come back, I got some scores for you guys to break down a little bit more. You're listening to it all in the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Yep, go ahead and jump, right? Might as well. Thank you guys for tuning in. I think Omaha, that's what Peyton Manning used to say when he went Audible. Lots of audibles for today's show, but happy to be sharing with you guys some of the scores from last night. We'll take you all the way up to close to 11 o'clock and then bring on Austin Kemp. And we'll talk more about high school football and where especially the track teams might end up. How we think they've performed during track season. All right, let's go ahead and get into some scores right now. There were some games that happened on Thursday, and how about those Edison Tigers with their first official win on the season? They had to forfeit an early win, so they defeated Garza on Thursday, 29-28. It's pretty significant, because last year they went 0-10, so they get their first win in CMAC in a couple years. Congrats to the Tigers. Redwood all over El Diamante, 61-14. The Rangers are playing really good football right now. Shafter all over Chavez, 56-0. I think Shafter is going to be one of those schools that's going to be moved up from Division 4. They lost in the championship game by a point last year to Division 3. Shafter's loaded. They got a couple four-year guys that are playing their best football in their entire careers for the Generals. Rigetti defeated Pioneer Valley 49-7. And in CMAC action, how about this? Bullard Knights defeated San Joaquin Memorial 35-9. Memorial came in pretty hot, scoring tons of points, 50 points here, 42 points there. And Bullard, with that opening CMAC loss to Sanger, now have won three in a row, doing it with balance. Defense is obviously showing up. Offense is clicking. Tyler Franklin is finally healthy at quarterback for the Knights. So great win for the Bullard Knights in their rivalry game against SJM. Sanger defeated Madera. Lots of points in this one as well. 46-28. Sanger, let me go back to some messages here that I received last night. They won the CMAC, right? At least a shared title. They won 18 out of their last 19. Only loss was back in 2022-23 against Memorial when they were the D1 runners-up when they lost to Liberty. So thanks to Nico Mata. Great guy in the Valley, great coach for Sanger for that info. Farmersville defeated, actually that score isn't up. Lindsay, there it is, over Granite Hills, 48-27. Strathmore defeated Corcoran, 41-6. And Woodlake, in a really good game, defeated Orosi, a battle of 7-1 and 6-2 teams before going into that, 31-22. So congrats to the Tigers, off to a great, well, I guess they're having a great season. Only one loss in the year. They're going to be the favorites in their division. Golden West with a nice bounce back win after losing two in a row, defeated Menachie 49-6. Porterville, these guys are really, really good. Defeated Mount Whitney 42-6. I forgot Porterville was a top seed last year and got knocked off in the semifinals. So yeah, Porterville's back with the vengeance this season. Let's scroll down a little bit. St. Joseph with a 42-0 win over Lompoc. And it's funny, I just had to make sure how to pronounce Lompoc the correct way. So use the Google machine. And the mayor actually put out a video, says, I really don't care how you pronounce it, right? We're a great city anyway. So Lompoc or Lompoc, I've heard it pronounced both, but I stick with Lompoc. And I think that's the official way to say it. So that's what we're going with here. McLean, they are most likely going to go undefeated this year all over Madera South, 71-0. Last year, they lost to Emmanuel in round two of the playoffs. In D4, they might be bumped up to D3. We'll see how that shakes out. But they have not been challenged at all this year. Had the Highlanders. Their quarterback, only a sophomore before that game, Landon Lacey, had a 34-0 touchdown interception ratio. Incredible. So he probably threw five more, maybe six, who knows. So McLean, Coach Pancotti, doing an amazing job this year. Roosevelt over Hoover, 27-17. Heard that was a really good football game. I think it was 13-3 at half. But Roosevelt with a good win. Hoover, sleepy good. We'll see where they land in the playoffs. They're going to be taking on that juggernaut McLean team to end their season. Sanger West over Fresno High, 68-0. Sunnyside, 35. Matilda Torres, 27. In Northwest Sequoia action, Chowchilla beat Carruthers, 47-7. Liberty of Madera, 41. Riverdale, 20. Coach Nolte was on the show last week. They are also undefeated at 9-0. They are a base D5 team like Emmanuel. I think they're going to be moved up to D4. D4 is going to be loaded this season. And especially if Liberty is in there, which I'm pretty sure they are going to be. Minarets, try to get Shannon Pulliam on the show. Coach of Minarets, they have one loss on the year. They defeated Parlier 49-14. Coach Pulliam actually is the color guy with Scott Bemis for Fresno City College football. They're driving on their way to Monterey for that game. So promising we'll get him on the show later. Yeah, Minarets, you know, that's high school that's up there in the mountains by one of the casinos. I don't know. There's two of them there. I don't want to name them right now. But yeah, the Minarets is up that way. Templeton. That's another undefeated team. Defeated Napomo, 56-31. So that's that other school that's going to be in D4. So those top four or five schools, including Roosevelt, that's going to be a really fun division to watch. Kennedy and Taft, it's not here on high school ratings, but I think that was a 49-14 win for Kennedy. Wasco defeated Delano, 42-0. That's going to set up Wasco and Shafter to end the season. In Northwest Yosemite action, north of Bakersfield defeated South 57-0. West over East Bakersfield. A lot of directional stuff going on there, 43-13. Centennial defeated Stockdale 51-0. Liberty of Bakersfield. This was a pretty big game for Liberty of Bakersfield playing Garces. Liberty only had two wins. Now, their last game of the year is going to be against Stockdale, who is only going to win one game this year. So Liberty needed that magic three wins to qualify for the playoffs. We know that, you know, they lost to Central and Buchanan and Clovis West. Lost to Clovis West at home. So they needed a win, and that's a good win over Garces, 42-27. So good win for the Patriots. They are in That we've talked a little bit about that program, how they've fallen off since those back-to-back championships, D1 championships, that state championship. Bakersfield High defeated Ridgeview 35-12. And Bakersfield Christian defeated Independence. Oh, actually, stayed pretty close, 24-14. Bakersfield Christian and Bakersfield, they are both base D2. Now, those two teams, we believe, are going to be moved up to the D1 single-A bracket. Last year, Bakersfield High and Frontier made it to the championship in that game. And I heard there was like 8,000 people that championship game. So good for Bakersfield. So I am pretty sure that both of those schools, Bakersfield and Bakersfield Christian, are going to be moved up. And I think they might be the top two. Bakersfield Christian's got a really good team. I think the best team in Bakersfield. I think they're going to be the top seed, Division 1A. I think Bakersfield is going to be two, and it's going to trickle down from there. So one more game left in this season, but I think that's how that's going to break down. In Tri-County Kings Canyon action, Central Valley Christian comes back to defeat Washington Union. I lost my place there. There it is, 21-17. So that's the third win for CVC. So they're going to make the playoffs, coached by Don Arax. And believe it or not, CVC has been in 7 Central Section Championship games in a row. 7 at different levels. The last 2 in Division 2. So, yeah, they needed that win to get into the playoffs. Kingsburg put up 44 points against Reedley. Their quarterback is back, threw for 3 touchdowns, a couple to, I think 3, to his brother, Cooper Holt. Nice win for Kingsburg after coming off that great win at home against Kerman. In Tri-County Sequoia action, Exeter defeated Selma 35-14. Emmanuel all over Hanford West in a running clock, 49-0. Emmanuel 9-0. We're going to hear from Coach Henderson at the bottom of hour number 2. And Buchanan with a nice win over Clovis East, 14-0. That Bear defense was on fire last night. Central East, like I mentioned, the game we were at, 61-49 over Clovis, and Clovis West over Clovis North, 30-24. Tanvir's here right now. Tanvir, you were at a game last night. Am I correct on that?
Yep. I was, at the Clovis East versus there you Buchanan go. Game.
All right. So, tell us about that game. What'd you see?
Yeah, so early on, all 14 points were scored in the first quarter. 2 fumble recoveries by Buchanan got them in positions. I believe the first one was, I missed the first one, but what I heard was the first one was just a fumble recovery touchdown straight up. And then it was another fumble, which led to a drive by Buchanan. I feel like we've gotten into this groove at this point with Clovis East where, you know, they have the talent and they have the ability to drive down the field. It's just the execution part of it when we get in to the red zone for those Timberwolves. Buchanan, on the other hand, again, I was very impressed with their win earlier on in the season that I saw them where, you know, their front 7 was flying around. And I feel like I saw the same thing in this game. Buchanan's offense, I would say, after that first quarter really did tail off. But when you score the 14 points, your defense is playing as good as they are. I think it's pretty simple to be able to just let off the gas a little bit at that point.
Are you a little concerned watching Clovis East?
I mean, yeah, for the reasons that I stated, right? Yeah. Like they are a good team and they are able to get to the quarterback. Their defense was playing really well the entire game, I would say. They only let up 1 touchdown and that was, you know, in a less advantageous position, but you know, that offense, I just feel it needs to convert. If you're not able to score touchdowns when you have the ability to inside that 30, then you're not going to be able to win any games. And I feel like that's kind of the issue that's plaguing this Clovis East team. But they have the talent, I will say. They definitely do still have the talent, especially on that defensive side of the ball.
All right. Thanks, Tanvir, for pivoting a bit and for being a part of these audibles that we're throwing out there.
No problem.
Someone makes it fun. Clovis East ends their track season against Clovis North. Central East is playing Buchanan on a Thursday game. That's going to be at Veterans Memorial Stadium. And like I mentioned, Clovis and Clovis West. That game is going to be at La Monica next week. Okay, a couple more scores before we take a break and bring on Austin Kemp. In West Sierra League action, Kalinga defeated Tranquility 55-0. Dos Palos with the homecoming win 31-14 over Fireball. Mendota over Avenal 55-6. Hanford defeated Mission Oak 49-7. We're going to hear from Coach Cannon Sanchez around 11:45-ish about that one. Tulare with a 49-20 win over Dinuba. Tulare Western bounces back with a tight one, 22-21 win over Lemoore. Fowler defeated McFarland 41-21. Frontier of Bakersfield defeated Highland 41-20. I think Frontier's going to end up with a 5, maybe a 4 seed. We'll see how games go next week. Kerman with a bounce back win, 34-13 over Sierra Pacific. And one more, Tehachapi 41, Golden Valley 7. There is a quick wrap up of the scores last night. We're going to take a break here, actually a little bit of an extended break, and then bring in Austin Kemp to talk about the track teams and where these teams are standing right now. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader. I am your host, Paul Metters. Our number two, thank you guys for joining us. We love talking about high school sports, and I love doing my show from First String Sports, and the Lord works in mysterious ways. I have been running around like a crazy man this morning. Got some technical difficulties. Went back to the studio, read you guys some scores, did a little insight, and now I'm back here at First String Sports. Wow, amazing. Jorge fixed the Comrex over here, so we are good to go. I got Austin Kemp, who did it audible himself. Austin, thanks. Yeah, I mean, right? You're good at you know what you're doing. You've played a little football in your life.
Yeah, you call the audibles. I could comprehend. I was in my house, and you're like, you know what? Come to the studio, and then I was about a mile away from the studio, and you said, you know what? We're going back to First String Sports. So a couple of different audibles, I'd say.
And you're good for it. We got some synergy going. Yes. We're on the same wavelength. All right, let's just get into it right away, Austin. The track right now. Did you watch the game on the television? And of course, you listened to our broadcast a little bit, right?
So I was multitasking.
You were multitasking.
Of course, I was listening to the broadcast. I had the game up on my phone while being at La Monica.
Awesome.
So I was
awesome.
I was trying to go a little bit triple threat here.
Yes. All right. Good stuff. All right. So first of all, thoughts about Central and Clovis High, right? I don't know if we could anticipate it 110 points total. We knew the stars were going to shine brightly, and they certainly did. Talking about, you know, Brand Smith, Deegan Rose, James Caruso, all those dudes. Just kind of some thoughts as watching the game, following the game, and what the final product was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone, like you said, would have predicted 100-plus points combined, but I did think it was going to be high-scoring. I do think it's safe to say that these are the two best and most probably explosive offenses in the Central section. And, you know, the thing about Central, and we saw it in the first quarter last night, is sometimes when you are playing them, and like especially out at Collegiate Stadium, things just come in an avalanche so quickly. And that game was flipped on its head after it was, what, the 60-yard TD run by Brandon Smith after their first possession on offense, and then a pick six, the second possession, and then all of a sudden it's 14-0, and you're kind of looking up at the scoreboard, and you're like, oh my gosh, like it's an avalanche. And I feel like we've seen that so many times with this Central program under Coach Biggs, where they'll just kind of ambush you, and it'll happen quick, and you're in a double-digit hole, and it's like, what do we do? Because, I mean, Clovis is talented, but I think if you were to line up roster position by position, they're still a little bit outmanned. Yeah. Central is still the more overall talented team, so I don't know. You get down in a hole quickly, and then you're at a talent disadvantage. It's tough.
The speed factor was pretty evident. Mm-hmm. Advantage to Central East last night, especially playing at their home field. Are you I mean, I don't know how to quite frame this, but right, people say defense wins championships.
I know where you're going with it.
I mean, where do you want to take this? I mean, I think there's just going to be a lot of points in the higher bracket in the playoffs. That's kind of what we – well, then Buchanan shuts out East. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, how do you frame that?
Yeah, it's strange because Central East is looked at as this juggernaut, right? And by all means, they are the best team in the section. That's not even a debate right now. But, like, every team can be beat. And then you start looking at, okay, well – I mean, how can you beat a team like Central East in the playoffs, maybe even Clovis, who has such an explosive offense? And it has to be, like, the right formula. And that form, like, we've seen Central East. They've given up a lot of points this year. Yep. Like, they got 40 by Grant. It was 33 by a bad Liberty team. Clovis West scored 39. Clovis scored – so, I mean, the formula's kind of there. I mean, they will give up points, but – I mean, that's only half of the equation.
Sure.
On the other side of the ball, it's like, are you going to be able to get stops? I mean, no one has yet. Yeah, no one has yet. So, I mean, we see what the path would be, right? It would probably be ball control. You have to score touchdowns. You can't settle for field goals. You can't turn the ball over. You almost have to score every time you have the ball, which is a lot of pressure on an offense and make things harder. But if you can do that, control the clock, and – You have to get a turnover
or two.
Yeah. And if you don't, then you're not going to beat Central.
Well, that's how they basically lost to Grant. They got put in that 21-0 mm-hmm. hole early, a couple turnovers. It's not like the Bengals. And so that was kind of, I guess, the formula to beat Central.
And I mean, that was the story of the game, right? That's how they got down. It was like two interceptions, a fumble here and there, and then all of a sudden Grant took an early lead. But, I mean, that – There's a specific way to beat them, and it has to be that way every time. Like, you have to force a turnover or two, you have to score touchdowns every single time, pretty much like Grant almost kind of did. And if you can't do those two things against Central East, you're just not going to beat them.
And if you know, they take care of business against Buchanan, they're going to play all their playoff games at home,
mm-hmm. which is, as we know, like nearly. It can be done, but it's nearly impossible for teams to go in there in a big game and win.
Clovis did a couple years ago,
They did, and that was Deegan Rose's sophomore year, mm-hmm. and that was like a 39-38 game, so like it was by the skin of their teeth. That wasn't the best version of Central that we've seen. That was kind of an average, I feel like, Central team that year. I don't want to discredit that, but
– Well, they were a year away, obviously.
Exactly, and when Central's good – and when they're at home, it can be done, but it's almost impossible.
So Clovis West played them really tough on that Thursday game without their best receiver, R.J. Jefferson. They had to go to overtime to beat Clovis North last night. J.J. Howard scored in overtime. How do you assess where Clovis West? Are they like the year away team? Like they hung tough, man, against Central East, what's your assessment of them so far?
I mean, I've kind of thought this whole year they were a year away. And then, like you said, you see that result against Central, and it was like, okay, I mean, they were winning for a large portion of that game anyway.
21-6.
Even late in the third, I think they even maybe had the lead by 7. And they're kind of just taking care of business every week. So, obviously, that Clovis game next week, Clovis West, Clovis, is going to tell us a lot more about Clovis West. But all of a sudden, I mean, if Clovis West wins that game, I might be thinking, hey, like, why can't they legitimately challenge Central in a Valley title game? And who knows? I mean, maybe Jefferson is back by then. I don't know the extent of his injury. But, I mean, they played a one-score game without him already. I think Clovis West is legit. They play good defense. Now, last night did surprise me that result against North going to overtime. In my opinion, that surprised me. I don't know how you viewed that.
Yeah, they were up 21-14. Mm-hmm. Then North tied it. Then they traded field goals, which mm-hmm. you don't see a lot, 24-24. And then they went to overtime. And Clovis, you know, you talk about the maturation of players from year to year. Remember Clovis West with J.J. Howard as a freshman quarterback? They only won 4 games last mm-hmm. year. And the games that, you know, they would have lost this year, they're winning those games now by making plays late. It's kind of learning couple different things, right? And that's how it goes with young teams, and they might just be dangerous to right to make it all the way to a championship game.
Yeah, and they're super well coached. I even had one of the track assistant coach tell me they were just like, I'm so impressed with just like in general how Clovis West runs their defense, about how disciplined they are. Mm-hmm. They know their keys, they know their reads. And Coach Brown does a great job, and he has a defensive background doing that. So, they have the right defensive formula on a given game, and you have a high level quarterback. I mean, why not? Why can't they win games like down the stretch?
All right. So Buchanan Bears shut out Clovis East. Tanvir, who's producing show, was at that game. A fumble recovery for a touchdown, and then another fumble might have led to another touchdown. That's what I gathered. What does that game say more to you about Buchanan's defense is pretty good, opportunistic offense, or just kind of the struggles of Clovis East offensively right now?
I mean, it can be a mixture of both, but I'm really impressed with the Buchanan defense, and I've really been high on them the entire year. And I remember over summer coming on here and saying, you know what, I think this Buchanan defense might be kind of legit.
Yeah.
And you kind of go through their schedule. I mean, they're 7-2. They played I know they lost to Clovis 25-0, but that game was 12-0 going into the fourth quarter. So like that wasn't some absolute rout. They shut out Clovis East. They played pretty well against North. That's just a team that's gotten better every single week. And right now, when you kind of look at their defense playing well, their offense is really starting to find an identity. Gannon Sever had 150 yards against North last week.
Okay.
He had a big game last night against Clovis East. Their run game is clicking. It's opening up more opportunities in the passing game. And I don't know, there's a nice little synergy going on with that program right now. And I want to kind of highlight, I don't know how many times the name Donovan Dunmore has been mentioned on.
Not enough, to be honest.
He's a guy committed to Wisconsin. He's a corner, and he looks like a Big Ten corner. And they tried him over the top several times last night, and it wasn't even close.
Wow.
He was probably the best athlete on the field in general. He's blocked like 3 or 4 kicks this year. He has 4 interceptions. He locks down his inside every game. So, I mean, they have guys in the right spots, and they're just getting better and better.
And that chase down, rip away fumble recovery last week was a pretty amazing play to watch. All right, so just looking at highschoolratings.com, again, this is what CIF Central Section Office looks at with their playoff seeds. It has been updated, and Buchanan is sitting at number 5, and there's Bakersfield Christian at number 4 overall. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be in the Division I AA. Buchanan's looking at a number 5. Again, they play Central, and I don't know how much, you know, even a loss would look for their rating. Buchanan could be the 4 seed, guys.
Yeah, and getting a home game, a home playoff game.
Right.
And the only thing that makes me question that, and I know in these rankings, Frontier is what listed. They're quite down there.
Dropped a little bit. Oh, they're okay.
They're at 10, but they're going to win that league, and they're going to have a win over Clovis. I know they do have a bad loss to Clovis North, so I just don't know where they're going to factor that in. I don't know if they would go from 10 all the way to 4. I feel like that'd be hard to.
No, that'd be hard. I mean, got North at 6, right now overall. Again, Bakersfield Christian's up there. And then Bakersfield, Tulare 7, a little surprising. Bakersfield is 8, St. Joseph 9, right? So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll flesh that out next week, and then we'll know for sure around 3 o'clock next Saturday.
And again, that Northeast game next week, too, is going to be a pretty major game when it comes to the playoff standings, with North sitting at 6 in those computer rankings and East, I think, at 11. Yeah.
All right. All right. So we got Buchanan, Clovis West, Clovis High, Central East, Clovis North, Clovis East. Let's talk a little bit more about Clovis High. I broke down the game a little bit quicker than I had hoped in my opener. Just watching them, I just feel there's just a little edge that they're missing. And when I say edge, and I'm not saying playing hard or anything like that, I felt like there was a lot. I'll just put it this way. There was a lot of smack talk last night, and just kind of some silly stuff. Pat Hill was a little more succinct on air talking about some things he saw from Clovis High. You know, just focus on the play at hand. Play your play, get back, line up, and do it again. And I think that's held back Clovis High the last couple years. I know they're frustrated, you know, especially being down early to Central. You know, those little things matter too, right? You know, you got to play within yourself. You play hard, you play aggressive, all those things that makes football what it is. But then you got to move on and line up and play the next play. Do you see that a little bit? Am I overreacting a bit? Is that even a thing in high school football?
I mean, I've seen it from them this year, and I know like that sometimes they've had some players out and they're dancing on the sideline and they're getting in people's faces when they get hit out of bounds, guys who aren't even dressed out. So like I've seen it from Clovis High this whole year, different games that I've been to. So regarding last night, they were, I know, like you were saying, talking smack, and they were getting penalized for it.
Three or four, at least, personal fouls. Yeah. Late hits, different things.
And
like
they
that.
Were getting penalized for it. So, I mean, it's gone on, as we've seen, every single game. So if you're not going to clean it up, you can't be surprised if you're going to get penalized by it. There are some positives, I think, to take away. I mean, James Caruso is
what a dude.
Such an explosive running back. The amount that he's playing too, with like playing all these snaps on defense,
leading
rushing
tackler.
For 100, 150, 200 yards on offense, I'm honestly amazed he stayed healthy, and I hope he continues to do so, because that guy's a special and fun player to watch. I don't know, but at some point we've been waiting for this senior class, right, to win that big game, and when's that big win gonna come? And I get it. I know playing Central is tough, and I know they're loaded, but so are you. I mean, you have a Division I quarterback. You have a tight end going to Miami. You have a stud running back. I mean, you have a receiver, a D1 receiver. So I mean, you're loaded too. So we keep waiting for them to win this big game, and maybe it'll happen in the Valley title. I mean, there's a pretty decent chance, I think, that like we'll see a rematch, pending on what we see the Clovis West game this week. But I mean, you clean up a lot of those little mental mistakes. I'm not gonna say they win that game last night, but I don't know. You either kill drives or extend drives for the other team when you do those.
Well, let me go back to the very first possession of the football game. Two penalties on Clovis High. Mm-hmm. Had to punt. Brandon Smith takes the next play all the way to the house, right? I mean, if you have a sustained drive, you don't, right? Clean it up. Clean those penalties up. If you take 5, 6, 7 minutes off the clock, mm-hmm. right? You're putting yourself in a really good spot.
Exactly. And we talked at the beginning of the segment about how do you beat Central. You probably got to control the clock. You got to score touchdowns. And when you're getting set and back to second and 25 and third and 20, you're not going to take time off the clock. You're not going to extend drives. And you're going to give an explosive offense really good field position every time.
Defenses make adjustments, right? Like late in the game, you're dropping, eight guys back. You're only rushing three. I mean, just different scenarios pop up.
I feel like you were there and you were more locked into that game. That 61-49 final.
No.
That looks a lot closer than it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you like – I think you don't.
I know where you're going with this.
Do you like the D1 being split up?
I don't.
Come on,
so
Austin.
So when I was a kid, and this is at this point a really long time ago, I remember these huge brackets, and you had the Visalia schools in there. You had, a couple of the Tulare schools. And they would bang heads with these Clovis schools and Bakersfield schools, and it was awesome. And these Clovis schools would go down to Visalia and lose in the playoffs, because not only were those Visalia schools talented, but they were used to playing Division I football, and they kept that standard. And as soon as you drop down a division and kind of make that what your program is about, like you just lower the overall standard, and then it becomes hard to compete at the highest level. So it's tough that we are there. I personally would like just a huge 16-team Division I bracket. Over 10 years, these smaller schools, quote-unquote, that, I don't know, that we always say, oh, it's unfair to put them in, like St. Joe's or Bakersfield Christian. Over time, they would learn what it's like to compete with these teams, and
they
would change. Yeah. And they would compete, and they would eventually win titles. But it's just about getting in that and playing over time. And I think in the long run, I think that would be awesome. I know in the short run, people would complain, like, oh, you can't put so-and-so in with those track schools. And it's like, why not? Why not? I know there would be some years that wouldn't go well, and early on it might not go well. But my whole point is, over time, I think those programs would learn how to compete, and eventually it would be a really cool and good thing.
Well, here's the thing, right? Parity, it can be a good thing. And you know, you go back and look at the list of Valley champions, Central Section champions, all right, whatever you want to call it, back in the day. You see the dynasty right now. It is a dynasty that Clovis East has, or Central East, sorry, Central East. You've seen it back in the day with Clovis West football. You've seen it with other sports as well. You know, you look at even last year's brackets compared to the prediction for this year's brackets. You're seeing different schools, right? I mean, what? Central Valley Christian 10 years ago, could you have predicted that they were going to be a D2 state champion, a D2 Central Section champion?
They were
D5, D4 stuff. You know, Bryson Donaldson helps. But, right, like, that's a good thing. And I like what you said, though, about, hey, these programs, rise up, man.
Get your
youth programs going. Assemble a really good coaching staff, right? Rise up.
And you know who you never used to win anything is Central. And you look 15, 20 years ago, no titles. We look forward to playing them in these track games because we would hammer them.
Yeah.
And look at them now. And they stuck it out in the track. They've spent two decades learning that level of competition, and now they're this dynastic type team, right? I do think schools learn to compete at that level. And you could play the whole game like, oh, is it fair? Is it what? Look at the Division I AA projected bracket right now. You have Central East at the top. How many teams are actually going to beat them in the playoffs? Maybe one, maybe two. So, like, we're talking about all these other teams not competing, and it's like none of these teams in Division I AA are going to compete with them. So why not put everyone in a giant bracket, and let's just see what happens.
Well, I mean, was St. Joseph even on anybody's radar? I know it's a coastal school and all that. Like, anybody's radar in the Central Section 10 years ago in any sport? Not really.
No.
St. Joseph, right? Like, mm-hmm. Who the heck are these guys in private school? Now they're doing great in baseball, basketball, obviously, mm-hmm. You know, football too. But, you know, you
same
look
with
at
Bakersfield Christian.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. When I was in high school 15 years ago, I didn't even know they existed. Even exist?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And right now, they're pretty much Division I in almost every single sport. And that just goes back to the point that you will get better playing the best competition, and you will eventually get on that level to where you can compete. You just got to kind of commit, put your whole body in, and say, let's go. Let's turn this thing. It'll be a decade-long type of process, but eventually we will learn how to compete at the level of these schools. Because it's been proven when we name all these private schools that have never been there, but now they are.
Yeah. All right. Good perspective. You always bring a good perspective.
I don't think that's a popular perspective. That's just that's mine.
Well, you are a product of Clovis Unified, Austin.
I am.
You are a product.
And on that note, there should be no Clovis school in any sport ever play below the top division. Because I think Doc Buchanan would be hating that if he were still alive. And I am so against it as well.
All right, we'll just leave it at that.
We'll leave it at
that, Austin. All right, hey, thanks as always. You know, we had a lot of fun in those years doing the podcast, chopping it up, and always enjoy when you're able to come on here and give your opinion and talk about these schools and all the good stuff.
No, I love it. I love that you have the platform. You do an awesome job, and I love being on your show.
All right, we'll do it again. How about playoff seasons and maybe a couple Clovis schools and against a Central East makes it the championship game. We'll do a little preview or review or all that stuff that we like to do.
That works for me.
All right. Good job, AK. We're going to take a break. We got Emmanuel head coach Josh Henderson coming on the show in just a minute on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metter. It's live here at First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon, and we have Emmanuel Eagles coach Josh Henderson on the line. They are 9-0 this season, poised for a high seed in D4. Defeated Hanford West last night, averaging just about 40 points a game this year, giving up only six. That's going to go down a little bit after that shutout last night. So, Coach, always great to catch up with you. How are you doing this morning?
Great, Paul. Thanks for having me on the show. Really appreciate you and everybody who represents high school sports. It's a lot of fun, and I love it. And Man Hill is a great place. So, again, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know a few things about Emmanuel High School. It is certainly a great place, and you're doing a great job this year. For those not yet familiar, and I know you guys had that great playoff win last year at McLean, but just kind of describe your program and your strengths and what Eagle football is all about.
Well, amazing school. You know, Eagle football is all about representing the Lord Jesus Christ, number one. We're a Christian school. Really proud of our faith, really proud of our culture. Emmanuel at large is a school that strives to bring God glory, number one, and two, serve our students well and be excellent at everything we do. And I'd say, you know, 5 years for me here, one of the things I'm really impressed by is it doesn't matter what program, what sport, from the top down, in the classroom, we really strive to be excellent in every aspect, and I love that. Also, just a strong faith based of not only faculty and staff, but families. You know, we've got plenty of outstanding families and so many outstanding students. Again, it's just an incredible place right here in the Central Valley. I'd never heard of it before I applied for the job, you know, 5 years ago, but so glad to have my family be a part of this Emmanuel community. So it's exciting. And of course, you know, we've been building as a football program, so specifically in the football realm, being undefeated this year. We have 20 seniors, great community support. So it's really an exciting time. And, you know, that victory over CVC 2 weeks ago, bringing the boot back, which you know about, I that was on everybody's list. And so, you know, our team's not only winning, but we're winning some big games, and we're in a really great position going into this Exeter game. And been, I think, a decade since we've beaten Exeter, so we got a great goal in front of us, and there's a lot to be excited about.
I want to go back to that CVC game. So a lot of talk about it, you know, and Kingsburg CVC the week before, and the rivalry between the two schools. I know CVC's got the best of Emmanuel in a lot of recent matchups, but 37-0. When people saw that score, you're like, wow, they really put a beat down on the Cavaliers. Just talk about that game. Who are some of the standouts, and what did it feel to win it?
What a team game. I'm going to tell you what. I mean, from our scout team guys, CVC is a very good football team. It was definitely our night. But starting on defense, you know, Tyler Romo is the first name I'll bring up because he's just been such a standout for our program, four-year starting inside linebacker. He's just been a phenomenal player. Our other middle linebacker, Wyatt Rasmussen, had a big game. Our secondary was tremendous by Josh Thomas, Joy Arnellis, both of also our corners. I mean, our defense played fantastic. I think we won at all levels. Our defensive linemen, our defensive ends, some really great players. Tippi Alua, you know, our big guys played really good for us. Malachi Tagi, who's another one of our defensive linemen. Both of I think our fourth down stop in the first drive, they had the ball going into the red zone. And Robbie Montano, who's been a real standout for us this year, one of our DNs, along with Cody DeGroote, those two guys have done a great job. But I think that fourth down stop that we had early in the game, they had the ball in the red zone because we stopped them, but we fumbled on our first drive. So we were playing back against the wall, and in the red zone, our defense came through twice. Again, a fourth down stop. And then offensively, you know, our quarterback, Vincent Rosander, played an amazing game, and our first touchdown was he made an audible, and he threw a little bubble pass out to Bennett Courts. And we had great blocking by our other receiver, Luke Thomas, but we were able to take that bubble, and he scored a 40-yard touchdown. And it seemed like that we had lost the momentum with that little bubble pass. We regained it, and were able to continue and just in you know, play good football. Tyler Romo and Wyatt Rasmussen also ran the ball for us, did some great things. Our entire offensive line was really strong. And I think that in the third and fourth quarter, you know, we were able to kind of pound the ball and move the chains and keep the ball, control the clock. So, again, it was our night. CVC is a very good football team. They played a great schedule. We felt like that game was going to be, you know, kind of help us know where we were. And we had a goal to come out and you know, throw the first punch. Last year they ended our winning streak. So I think it was a big game for our players, obviously, and also our community. But, you know, offensively, we had, again, our quarterback. Rocco DeGraw is another guy who made a couple big third down runs. We got our tight end involved in the game, and he hadn't been involved in the game. He's a really good player for us. Luke Banks, Josh Thomas, you know, stepped up, had both of our safeties played really well, interceptions. So it was just a great team night. Finishing it off, we had a freshman running back come up, and he ran the ball and scored two touchdowns for us. So Seth Thomas, again, great team night for us.
Absolutely. We only got a couple minutes with you, Coach Henderson. We had to squeeze a bunch of stuff. We had some technical difficulties earlier in the show. Thanks for joining us again. The team is 9-0. I'm curious if you have really built this team in regards to advancing far in the playoffs. You guys play a different style of football than a lot of the teams in Fresno Unified. You know, I think Templeton's going to be up there. Liberty Madera, who man, runs the heck out of the ball like you guys, averaging over 350 yards on the ground. So just kind of, are you guys built for the playoffs, that running style, the ball control? Is that kind of one of your focuses on this year's team?
Yes, sir. One of the funny things, we just finished a film session this morning, and our first seven plays, we were reviewing our longest plays of the game. Seven different guys made those plays. So I think what we've done in our coaching staff, my brother's our strength and conditioning coach, our school principal leadership, you know, our guys are, I think we're as strong, physically fit. We've built up, we have numbers. So I do think we're positioned well. Thank the Lord. We've had a few injuries, but even those guys look like they're going to be coming back and they're contributors. So overall we're healthy. But again, we got a lot of playmakers and we have a deep roster. And so I think we're in a good position. We're going to pull overall in the program. We're over 60, which is, you know, I mean, kind of over double what we started with. Wow. The entire program. But I think the big thing about our 60 is it's 60 committed guys. So we're going to pull up some JV guys, and we're going to head into the playoffs with over 40 guys, and probably, you know, about 30 of those guys could actually go on the field and contribute. Then some of our JV guys will come up and help with our scout team. But to answer your question, I do feel confident about our players and our depth.
Yeah, and those two are definitely ingredients for a successful run. But before you get there, you got to play Exeter, and then we'll see where you guys land in the playoffs. Hey, Coach, again, thanks for joining us. Wish we had a little bit more time. We'll catch up later for sure. And, hey, go Eagles, right?
Paul, thank you. Appreciate you. Love all of our alumni.
Absolutely. You're doing a great job there, Coach Henderson. Appreciate it. Thanks. Have a great rest of your day. All right, that was Coach Henderson of the Emmanuel Eagles. Yeah, he's a tough-minded guy, man. I can't imagine last week's game, Donnie Arax and Josh Henderson, two really, really good hard-nosed coaches. All right, we'll take a break. We got Cannon Sanchez of Hanford coming on the show, and then we'll wrap everything up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Final segment of the show this morning. Thank you guys for listening. Every Saturday, 10 to 12, do the best we can, talking about high school football, the good stuff that's going on. We got Cannon Sanchez on the line right now, head coach at Hanford High. His team defeated Mission Oak last night on the road 49-7. Got a nice four-game winning streak going. Do the bull putts. Next week, you're going to be taking on Lemoore in that rivalry game. I definitely want to talk about that with Coach Sanchez. So, first of all, Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Paul.
All right, so last night, yeah, you guys are rolling. The offense is clicking. Definitely going to talk about that Tulare Union win on October 10th. But what was kind of the what would you want to see from your team last night? I know Mission Oak is having not a year that they want to have. But how was the game plan and how did you guys execute last night?
Yeah, I mean, we actually, it wasn't very clean football. I mean, I think, the score doesn't really dictate, what the game actually was. I think offensively, we're still young and trying to figure ourselves out a little bit as far as the turnovers. We're continuing to turn the ball over, so we still need to improve on that, I think defensively they played really well, got off the field quickly. But, yeah, there's still so much to clean up offensively, and we just got a young team that we're building around, but I think we're starting to hit our stride slowly.
There we go. Absolutely, got to turn my sound up a little bit. All right, so let's go back to the Tulare Union game. High powered offense, right on film. I'm sure they look incredible. They got a really good quarterback that's played. This is 3rd year playing varsity football, and Jordan Chris, very talented wide receivers. You guys won 35-32. Game plan going into that one, what did you guys try to focus on? And you talk about, a young team, but they definitely rose to the occasion to win that one on the road. Just kind of walk us through that game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Tulare Union, this is, probably one of the most talented teams they've had in a while, and they've been able to build around a young core of players, and they have two receivers that can really take the distance from wherever on the field. So I think Coach Perryman did a really good job of game planning just to make sure that those two guys weren't explosive versus us. We knew that regardless they were going to have their opportunities, and I think defensively we did a really good job of playing man-to-man versus those guys, and then offensively we really just had to pull out all the stops. So we had two huge trick plays where it was just a double pass that ended up being really successful for our first play of the game, and then we ended up coming back to it that last play of the game to kind of set us over the top. But, we kind of knew that every drive was going to be crucial for us to win that game, and we just kind of pulled out all the stops.
All right, so walk me through your thought pattern on that first play of the game, right? It was a double pass. You throw to a receiver, and the receiver threw to another receiver. Is that what that looked like?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, we've been pretty successful versus Tulare Union in the last couple of years. And so I think this was their, favorable year to win the WL championship. And so we just kind of figured that, it's going to be an aggressive game from the get. Everyone wants to make a play. And kind of took that to our advantage to be aggressive the first offense play of the game. And, play call was, Hart Mazda, 71 Kitty, and they were throwing Tavion Patterson to go in an orbit motion behind the quarterback, throwing a lateral to him, and just hoping that the corner and safety to that side trigger on the bubble. And they did. The outside receiver, Braylon Thomas, kind of shows hands and kind of floats down the sideline, so he's kind of forgotten about, and big 68-yard play to start the game.
Is that a play that you decide maybe, on a Wednesday or a Thursday, like, hey, we're doing this the first play of the game, and everybody on the team knows it, you're like, and when you see it executed, just give a little silent fist pump. Is that kind of what goes through your mind? I'm curious about that.
Yeah, on Wednesdays, we call them situational Wednesdays, but there's really no individual time or group time. It's just scenario-based type of plays. So we know on 3rd and long, these are the set of plays we're going to run, red zone set of plays we're going to run, goal line, so forth. Well, we always start that Wednesday with openers, how we want to start drives. And so typically the first play of our openers is going to be the first play that we're going to run of the game. And so when they see that on the practice plan, that it's, you know, whatever, Hart Maz is 71 kitty, like we're calling a double pass the first play of the game, you know, and so it's questioned for sure. You know, it didn't look great in practice. Trick plays in practice never look good. It's one of those you cross the fingers type of thing. And so I'm glad it worked out the way it did. But, yeah, the very last play of the game off for us offensively, we had a huge stop defensively on fourth and five, got us the ball back, and on the headset, I tell the rest of the office staff, like, hey, man, I think I'm going to call Kitty again. And it was just dead silence. Not, yeah, coach, I like it, or, you know, that's good, or whatever. It was just dead silence. But I guess sometimes you kind of go with your gut, and thankfully it's, you know, it's kind of one of those forgotten-about plays because it's so early, first play of the game. You know, you forget about that after 3.5 quarters of football.
Yeah, usually you set things up before the game. You're like, I got this play in my back pocket. Let's run it. All right, now sounds about right. And, but in that case, it's first play. Yeah, that's funny. Like, you're like, are these things on? Like, other coach, are they hearing me? We got a breakdown here. But, yeah. I mean, that's why you're the head coach. That's why you get paid the big bucks, right, to call those plays.
Yeah, it goes both ways for sure.
That's right. All right, we got about another 3 minutes with Coach Sanchez. Talk about your rivalry with Lamar. You've played in it, you coached in it. It's always the last game of the year, at least I think so, at least for a while. But just what's like some memories that you have either playing or coaching against Lamar, and just the rivalry that it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think this will be our 81st contest, you know, and so it's one of the longest-lasting rivalries. And then, you know, we played for the Milk Can for 76 seasons now, I believe. And, no, it's been a great series, you know, that it's only barely a 10-minute drive. And, it's always been week 10, last game of the season. And I think that's what's always made week 9 tough for us, right? We didn't play clean football Friday night, but yeah. It's one of those things that's hard. It's always overshadowed by the week 10 game, right? You're always thinking about the rivalry game, and it's always had WIL implications. It seems like, you know, it's either one of us is going to win it or one of them's going to, you know, ruin the other one's night so they don't become WIL champions. So there's so much implications that way, but then it's such a short distance. There's a lot of guys that have played youth football against each other, with each other, and now it's kind of like for all the marbles at the end of the 10-week regular season. But no, I think there's a lot of passion that goes into this game. And last year I think we had a really dominant team, but it's very rarely won in dominant fashion, just because it's the Milk Can, and that the whole numbers thing is kind of out the window. So it doesn't matter if you're averaging 50 points a game going into that game. There's just a little bit more at stake.
I agree. We got another minute with you, Coach Sanchez. Wish we had more time. A little playoff talk. Do you like the position that you believe you're going to be in the playoffs this season?
Yeah, you know, I think that the 25% rule has helped, you know, this format out a lot. It's really something I wish we could have had, you know, put in about 3 years ago. But, I think for, the last couple of years, you know, being with the big dogs and, trying to compete at that level, I think the standard for Hanford High football is raising every single year. And so, potentially being in the D1A this year, I think it gives us a chance. You know, I think there's some teams that we can compete with. But ultimately, I'd love to host another home playoff game, and give our guys a shot. But, I know our guys are eager for it, but I think we're sitting in a pretty good spot right now.
Yeah, I think so too. And when we talk about playoffs and however you want to frame it, the unfairness Hanford always comes up, right? And you run a great program there. You got great kids, great support system. So, to compete for a Central Section Championship is definitely on the horizon for Hanford each and every year. But this year, I like your guys' chances. I'm excited for you guys. But thanks, Coach Sanchez, for coming on as always. Really appreciate you. Have a great rest of the week, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, Paul. Appreciate it.
Yep. All right, that is a wrap for today's show. Thanks to First String Sports, man, for putting up with me today, the technical difficulties. Jorge Rodriguez did a phenomenal job. Thanks for Tanvir for producing the show. Austin Kemp, Coach Henderson, and Candace Sanchez for coming on the show. Have a great rest of the weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.